Follow your heart and find love at the movies for the 10th annual TCM Classic Film Festival. April 11th through the 14th in Hollywood, where festivities will abound. Comedy legend Billy Crystal will be honored with a handprint ceremony at the storied TCL Chinese IMAX Theater. Our distinguished lineup includes trip celebration of 20th Century Fox, spanning from Sunrise to Star Wars.
May the Force be with you.
Don't miss the red carpet excitement and exclusive events at Club TCM. The 10th annual TCM Classic Film Festival, April 11th through the 14th.
Ticklish business any way you look at it. Come on, we'll stick together.
Ticklish Business, the podcast devoted to honoring and deconstructing the world of classic cinema. As always, I'm your host, Kristen Lopez.
I'm Drea Clark.
And I'm Samantha Ellis.
It is our TCM Classic Film Festival-centric episode. We are doing something different. We are going to be answering some of your questions, giving some of our tips and tricks for navigating the fest, and just taking time to honor TCM more than we probably already do on this show. To start is, at least me and Sam will both be at the festival.
Yes.
Drea will hopefully be dropping by so that we can all meet in person. Drea and I have met in person. That was awesome. I believe there was not sufficient fanfare, though. No. I feel like there should have been bugles.
Well, I feel like I should always have bugles with me anyway. But if I can get a horn section when the three of us are together, that would be great. I like to think that my participation at the TCM Festival, because it's literally so close to my house, is more of an uncredited cameo that I just pop up every once in a while and you're like, is that Drea Clark?
Next year, I know somebody's doing this because one of our friends, Raquel Stetcher, who will not be at the festival this year, they're doing a flat Raquel where they got a cardboard cutout of her.
Oh, and like Flat Stanley? That's cute.
Yes. I feel like we need to do a flat Drea cardboard cutout of her and then put her in pictures.
That's not my personality or my physicality. I don't go flat. I do love the idea of a flat Raquel. That's really cute.
Samantha, what number festival is it for you this year? How many times have you been?
This will be my second.
Oh, okay. So this will be my sixth.
Wow. Yeah, I only went to last year, and this will be my second in a row.
I am still shocked that they invite me back every year, because considering what they know about my love for Ben Mankiewicz, I'm just surprised that they asked me to come back. I love going to TCM. It's probably my favorite festival, and I've been to a couple different ones at this point, but I love TCM because it's a great chance to obviously geek out with people that understand when you're talking about some weird character actor from 1932, somebody will understand it. Also, especially for me, because I write about contemporary films and I write about films so often, it's really great to get to go into these old movie houses and see these films and just be able to enjoy cinema. It's not like when you go to a quote-unquote real film festival and you're watching it purely to be first on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a very stressful couple of days because you're constantly running from A to B, but it is a really relaxing, fun time. Sam, what about you? What appeals to you about TCM?
It's honestly like heaven to me. What everybody says when they're asked that question is, I found my tribe. That's how I feel when I'm at the festival. And the fact that you're in Hollywood amongst where all of these films were made and where all the stars like to hang out, it's just a once in a lifetime experience, twice in a lifetime for me now. And I just feel so fortunate to be a part of that. Not only to rediscover some of my favorite films on the big screen, but to discover so many new ones. The very first film of last year, Finishing School, I never would have seen that otherwise. And it was my favorite film of the fest. It was amazing. And you just don't get chances like that anywhere else.
Drea, what about you? What's your background with TCM? Because you're not going this year. Explain yourself.
Well, it's funny. It's that strange thing of probably similar to when people live next to something amazing. And then you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the Grand Canyon over there. I guess it's just always there. It's very silly. And it's also that my personal calendar has been changed around from the different things that I work. And because of the weather, I honestly was like, oh, it's spring already? Oh, so I think it just sort of snuck up on me. And also my friends who work at the festival are no longer there. It actually sort of leads to what Sam was saying. I do think that the community element of it is stronger. I go to so many film festivals. I've worked at so many film festivals. There's something about TCM fans. They all get together and you look around the room and you're like, oh, these are people who would see themselves in black and white in the best way. And I enjoy that. I love the passion that comes with it. And there's often sort of a romantic view of the world, and not in like a super flirty way, but do you know what I mean? There's just this great love of story and love of history, and it combines really well. Adding to something Kristen said, one of my favorite things is they do a really good job of taking advantage of a couple of venues that are really steeped in old Hollywood. So obviously the Roosevelt Hotel, where a lot of the happenings go, the poolside screenings are there. As you guys know, it was famously, it's where the very first Academy Awards took place. It's across the street from the now Dolby Theater, where the current Academy Awards take place. And so you just walk in and you walk in these rooms. There's a great sense of history. And my favorite place to see films, the Chinese Theater, Man's Chinese, Grauman's, is incredible. And it's so beautiful. And you have the handprints and it feels like you're in a history book. But I have such a soft spot for the Egyptian. You get to the Egyptian Theater and you walk in, and even from the outside, you feel like you're stepping into the past in a way. It's so Art Deco and beautiful. And they also make film feel like an occasion, which is, I think, something else that classic film really does. They felt more special. There weren't so many films, and so, you know, each one felt like a whole happening. And I think TCM plays that off to a beautiful, beautiful degree.
My favorite venue, I think, out of all of them, other than the poolside at the Roosevelt, which I go every year and I complain about being cold, but I love it. For me, it's the TCL. It used to be Mann's, Grauman's Chinese Theater. Now it's the TCL. Every TCM, you will expect to find ceiling pictures from me. I spend a lot of time taking pictures of the ceiling of the Grauman's Chinese Theater every time I'm in it, because I just think it's utterly spectacular. The Egyptian's got a great ceiling too, and so does the Roosevelt, but the TCL is my favorite out of all of them, even though both it and the Egyptian have what I've termed death ramps, because they've retrofitted both of them. They have steep 90 degree angle ramps to get down. Every time I go down them, I take my life in my hands, but it's worth it. Sam, what's your favorite venue out of all the TCM places?
I would definitely have to agree with you, Kristen. Definitely TCL IMAX, the big theater downstairs. It's just so historic. And my favorite part of it, aside from just the grandeur of it, and the fact that I'd never even been inside until last year's festival, in the morning, I didn't know this until I actually went, but during those few days of the festival, it is booked as an event. That means that all the security guards are keeping all of the regular people, the other fans, from stepping even into the forecourt where all the handprints are. So if you're there, which I was for Bullet with my grandmother, it was just unbelievable. I mean, yes, they were sort of sectioned off by the dividers for the lines, but we were the only ones on the whole forecourt getting to see and touch the handprints and footprints ourselves. Only the TCM people got to do that, which is amazing.
I had no idea about that. That's really cool. Yeah. I've been in there, but I always am there when there's a lot of people, so I just naturally assume.
We got there super early for Bullet. We actually ended up chatting the security. Every time anyone was like, I want to see the handprints, anybody from the street, Hollywood Boulevard, they turned them down. We were the only ones who were allowed in there. So I'm sure throughout the day, like you said, it's filled with people waiting in line for the movies. Just that moment to have it to ourselves, once we were given our cue cards to go out and take all the pictures without anybody in the way, is just magical. Literally, my spot in line when I was waiting for Bullet was right in front of Olivia de Havilland's footprints, and I took pictures of my foot inside of hers It was really cool.
Did you take pictures of how enormous your feet looked? Because I don't even know what your feet look like. But every time I look at any of those, well, A, the women are all in heels. So you just get this little heel print and then the little toe part. But I swear they're so tiny.
Honestly, I was actually wearing heels when I was there. And I always go all out as much as I can as far as vintage. It's funny that you mentioned that because during that time, I went and sort of measured my foot up against everybody. Like you said, to my knowledge, aside from, of course, Shirley Temple, Natalie Wood's feet were so tiny. You wouldn't necessarily think it, but her feet were so small. And I was trying to find some actress that I adore that my feet matched. And I did. Which is really crazy, especially considering this year, but it was Gina Rowlands. Our feet are exactly the same size.
When I was at the Disney Studios recently, I put my hands in Haley Mills handprints, and I got really excited because we were the same size hands, and then I found out she was a child when they did that.
I had the opposite. I have the same size hands as John Wayne. I have enormous, enormous hands.
He is an American icon, though, for better or worse, Dreyas.
I guess I could have worse hand doubles.
It's one of those things where you discover new classic film stars every year. Only a few days ago, it's bonkers, I saw my first ever Roy Rogers film, Under the Western Stars. And it's just going to be crazy to see his famous hand and footprints and Trigger's hoof prints. Because I've seen them so many times, but now that I've actually seen his work and admire him, it's going to be really cool.
It does change it when you become familiar with them. Because that's the great thing, especially if people are going to TCM Fest multiple years or they're sort of growing their own knowledge of classic film. You recognize and have a connection with a handprint or a film or an actor in one of the films that's been programmed that maybe the time you went before you hadn't seen any of their stuff. And all of a sudden you're like, ah, I love them. This is magical. Whereas before it was just where you were standing.
I hadn't been to California or Hollywood, I mean, in about 10 years before that. So I remember the last time seeing all the hand and footprints being like, oh my God, Marilyn Monroe. And I had my pictures with her. But you realize what a classic film novice I was at that point. And I was excited about Natalie Woods, too. She's one that I see every single time. She was my first favorite classic film actress. This last year, knowing everybody pretty much, or at least knowing their name, it's unbelievable how far I've come in those years as far as my discovery of classic film.
Let's break down a bit of our schedule. Drea can throw in some stuff here and there because I don't want her to feel left out since she won't be there. She'll be there in spirit, though.
You can give us your pretend picks.
Yes, yes.
I will. Oh, I'm definitely chock full of opinions.
We love them. We love what you were chock full of.
Thank you.
Thursday. For me, this is going to be really exciting because I live about 15 minutes away with no traffic. I am essentially going to have a great little staycation where I get to go down, stay in a nice hotel room, and then go back home on Monday. And I don't have to get on an airplane, which is very exciting for me because I hate to fly. Thursday is always contingent on the fact that I cover red carpet. So I get to usually be placed generally in the middle slash end of the red carpet. TCM does a great job of making sure the true fans, the bloggers, the people that are genuinely fascinated with celebrities that are attending have a placement on the carpet. Because the sad thing about TCM, it's a double-edged sword. They invite a lot of press, and a lot of the press that they do invite are people in the blogging community. Red carpets, though, tend to be 90% KTLA, the big news organizations, Vanity Fair, all of that. But those people don't stay for the full festival. They're literally just there to get the big names for the opening night film. They don't really care about the smaller names, which is why TCM allows some bloggers to be at their red carpets, because they know that you'll want to interview Daryl Hickman. So I always go and get to talk to some really great people. Keith Carradine and I are BFFs. He stops for me every year to talk to me about weird stuff, and we have a lot of fun. That's where I will be. The sucky thing is it usually means that I don't ever get to see anything that starts right at like 6:45 or so, because it's incredibly hard to get out of the red carpet especially if you're in a wheelchair. As much as I was hoping to be a gentleman for blondes, considering its significance to this podcast, it is our intro bit, I will not be there. Sam will be there. I will not be there.
I won't be a gentleman for blondes. Well, I'm still debating. No. I'm still debating. Honestly, the first decision, the first lineup of films is the hardest. But I very tentatively picked Night World. Very tentatively.
And there goes the dream of us having some sort of ticklish business representative.
I know. My sister still might talk me into it. I missed Sarah Karloff last year in favor of watching Gigi for the first time. I mean, I don't regret that at all, but I'm not going to get another chance to see Sarah Karloff. So, and I do love Boris Karloff. He's my favorite horror guy. He's one of my favorite people in classic films. And the fact that I probably won't have a chance to see any other pre-code, and my favorite film last year was a pre-code, it's making it very compelling. We'll have to see. Honestly, every single choice for the first round is impossible. Jennifer Blondes, easily, because it's a favorite film of my sister's and myself. We watch it all the time. They're going to have a party for Ocean's 11, and I don't want to see any other poolside. And I've never been to a poolside. It's insane. And Dark Passage, which is probably going to be introduced by Eddie Muller, my huge crush. It's my favorite Bogey and Bacall film. This is impossible. I almost want to throw in the towel. It's more upsetting to think about all the films that I'm missing than it is to be excited about the film that I end up choosing, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. The choices are really hard because really you can only fit two, maybe one, depending on what you want to do with your time on Thursdays. I was tempted to go see Ocean's 11. I don't know if I'm going to make it to any of the other poolside screenings, so this would be good. And as most people know, I love Peter Lawford, but I really don't have a big interest in the movie otherwise. And I don't think Pete is compelling enough to get me out there. And usually the poolside screenings, especially opening night, are incredibly hard to get to. Like, you're not expecting to get a good seat close to the screen. As much as I was contemplating going to see Mogambo, because I love Red Dust, and I've never seen the remake, and I figure if you're going to see it...
Oh, Kristen. It is literally my least favorite Grace Kelly movie. And we were just discussing the fact that I finished her filmography. It is so bad.
That's a definitive least favorite because you've seen them all.
It is so bad, Kristen. If you want to see it for the first time on the big screen, that is probably the best way to do it. But I'm not going to say it's anything close to Red Dust. And that's saying a lot because I adore Grace Kelly.
I love Red Dust. I was contemplating that and then I said no. I'm really, really upset that I probably will miss Umbrellas of Cherbourg because I love that.
That is hands down the number one thing I would see that night.
Wow.
But I know that by like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I'm not going to want to read subtitles. As much as I love Catherine Deneuve, and there's no guest for that either. I will probably end up just going all the way down to the Egyptian and doing a nitrate film, which is going to be The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. I've talked about this movie, I think, several times before because I love it. It's a movie that could have only been made in the studio era because the plot is just incredibly bizarre. What court of law would allow a grown man to date a high schooler to avoid going to jail? That's a plot right there, and I love it. And I love Cary Grant in it. Makes up for the fact that Shirley Temple as a teenager is kind of annoying. I have to see it. It's a movie I've seen before, but I love it so much.
I love your commitment to being annoyed by Shirley Temple as a teenager.
She is the worst. I'm sorry.
What? Okay. I don't want to disagree with you again, Kristen, but I think she turned into such a lovely woman. I'm amazed that she didn't continue her career.
Have you listened to our Since You Went Away episode that Drea and I did?
I haven't.
Don't.
Don't, because Kristen spent much of it talking about how annoying she found Shirley Temple.
I will admit that her acting needed some work at that point, but she was just so pretty. She was drop-dead gorgeous, even as a teenager. That's actually my choice, too, The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer, but I just keep thinking in the back of my mind that I won't get in, even if I see Night World, which will end before the rest. I just have this feeling because every single time I read an article about somebody's choices, they choose Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. I think it will be very difficult to get into. I've never seen anybody choose anything different.
I'm just going to go straight to that.
Yeah, you'll probably get in. I'm going to try my best. It's my choice. If not, I don't know actually what I'll do. I'll really just try to see Cherbourg or Mogambo maybe. I don't know. Or maybe just call it a night. One of the three.
Did you not just say Mogambo was the least?
I did. But it's Grace Kelly and I want to watch as many movies as possible.
Umbrellas is such a beautiful visual that seeing that big screen is why that would win out for me.
I haven't seen it actually. I know.
Girl. You
I know.
Girl.
Shock.
The only Catherine Deneuve movie I've seen is Young Girls of Rochefort.
Oh, and see, that's my least favorite.
And that was a long time ago.
If we're going to rank Deneuve's weird fantasy musicals, it's Cherbourg, Donkey Skin, and then Young Girls of Rochefort. Donkey Skin is probably my favorite. It gets the slight edge because the costumes are just really, really cool. Weird story, but very, very beautiful, and it's got music, so you should watch it.
I do want to see that as well.
Moving on to Friday. Friday is mean. The morning
is so
incredibly mean, which I find to be TCM's sly way of saying, screw you, Lopez. Because they literally start off, when I saw this on the schedule, I was upset. They're screening The Postman Always Rings Twice, right off the bat on Friday, at the Egyptian. As much as I love John Garfield, and I blame TCM for creating all of that last year with The Seawolf, I will probably not go see it. Because we just talked about it, I already said that it wasn't my favorite, and I don't necessarily want to walk all that way. If it was a different John Garfield movie, okay? If it had been anything else, it would have gone. I feel very bad. I'm sorry.
That's fair. If, for instance, if they were showing The Mark of Zorro, I would probably see it if there was nothing else, but
if they were showing The Mark of Zorro, I'd go see it, okay?
Oh, and okay. I'm just trying to compare it to, like, the most famous film that my fave has made. I feel your pain.
You know that I would be there and I would be making inappropriate comments about Basil Rathbone. My John Garfield picture and signature across the way in my room is looking at me like, I can't believe you, Lopez. You let me down. I know. I'm sorry. Instead, I will probably, oddly enough, be at Merrily We Go to Hell, the Friedrich March movie.
Uh-huh. You secretly love him so much.
Oh my god, I do not. Do not. I want to go. It's pre-code. Carrie Beecham's going to introduce it, and Carrie Beecham is a friend of the podcast. I'm all for starting my day off with a story about a drunkard. This could very well be a TBA, which I tend to try to avoid the pre-codes in case they do play Sunday.
If it's a TBA, I am there. I am so there.
But then I thought about it, and I was like, I'm not walking all the way to the Legion Theater to see High Society because I hate that movie. Sorry, not sorry.
You hate High Society?
I love the Philadelphia Story, as God intended.
Obviously, the Philadelphia Story is so much better. And pretty much anything that you're going to add music to, the music typically is the weaker version. But I will say, speaking of venues, the American Legion is a pain to get to, but B, it is such a time travel device. You're honestly like, oh, I'm just at a real quick post-war sock hop. And it's so unexpected. Like, you're walking up the hill. It looks super nondescript from the outside. And then you walk in and it's a pretty cool venue.
Two things. First thing, I throw in my hat. I cannot believe. I know I'm the unpopular opinion, but I believe the High Society is better. But that's because it is specifically tailored to me. It's literally gorgeous Technicolor 50s, Grace Kelly, Bing Crosby, my favorite singer of ever. Frank Sinatra, I love him, of course. Literally, the lead character's middle name is Samantha. And the fact that Bing Crosby sings a song saying, I love you, Samantha, it's made for me, okay? It's literally my top five favorite movies of all time. It's so funny that they added the Legion Theater this year because it's right across the street from the hotel that I stayed at for last year. I'm not staying there this year, but I was complaining, oh, it's out of the way of everything. And that's why I'm moving closer to the Boulevard this year. And now they have a theater right across from
it. Of course.
Full disclosure, the first TCM festival I ever attended, I stayed at the theater that was literally two doors down from the Legion Theater. I vowed never again after the first year because that walk is sketchy at night.
Oh, yeah.
As we were walking uphill, of all things, at midnight, my friend and I were looking around like, hey, there's literally no one around. And we are two young girls wandering on these streets. And there's like open alleys to your left that just go on forever. And yeah, it's not the best place to walk to. So one of my tips, if you're going to go, go in the morning. I will not be there. I know where Samantha will be, though, because I'm guessing she'll be there.
I was actually really torn between The Clock and High Society because I've never seen The Clock, and it's sort of that scale. It's whether you want to watch a movie that looks good, but you haven't seen it, basically taking a gamble, or if you want to watch one of your favorite movies on the big screen. I'm going to have to go with the latter. I can't imagine not seeing High Society, and I can't imagine not seeing it with people who love it as much as I do. That'll be a really cool experience. And it's my only chance really to go to the Legion.
So the next one for me, I was contemplating going to see Out of Africa because I've never seen it. And the last time I bet on a Robert Redford film, it ended up being a goodie because I went and saw The Way We Were, I think 2 years ago. I loved it so much. I will definitely be at Sleeping Beauty. It's back at the Egyptian. I feel I'm going to be living there. They have not shown a Disney movie at TCM since Bambi, which I think was about 4 years ago, which I saw and I sobbed my eyes out. But I don't even really like Bambi that much. So I have to go see Sleeping Beauty, and it's being introduced by Floyd Norman, one of the original Walt Disney animators, first African-American animator Disney ever hired. Considering I'm a Disney nut, that's where I have to be. As much as I wanted to go see Jennifer Grant at the panel about growing up Hollywood, nope. Sleeping Beauty, everything will revolve around that on Friday.
I could not agree more. This is probably the easiest choice of the whole festival for me. My sister and I have been huge Disney fanatics, especially of the Golden Age, since we were so little. Sleeping Beauty got us through so much, and even as adults marveled at the background detail. I think that is really the unsung film as far as the backgrounds go. They're just so meticulous.
Evan Early, Mary Blair, those backgrounds are the best.
They really are. And Cinderella is my favorite Disney princess, but I think Aurora is the prettiest. I've got to be there.
Neither of them are Ariel, so they both lose automatically.
Ariel is third.
As you guys know, Ursula from The Little Mermaid is my favorite Disney princess.
That's fair.
She is. She's a Disney queen, Drea.
There we
Disney
go. Queen. Call things by their right names.
I am commending you both for your Sleeping Beauty choice. I would do the same.
And then after that, it would actually be fortuitous for me to just literally exit the theater and then get back in line because they are going to be showing My Favorite Wife, which I just noticed on the schedule they added Jennifer Grant. I was just saying to my mom.
Are you serious?
I'm not even kidding. Breaking news.
I was complaining about that too. I was literally complaining about that.
I think you and I were complaining about that mutually to each other.
I bet we did have that conversation.
I think we were,
oh my goodness.
We were saying, why is Jennifer Grant not at this movie that her dad is in? Well, she is on this, so she will be there. So I'm going to literally get in line for My Favorite Wife. It is one of my favorite marriage plot comedies. It has my favorite homoerotic couple, which is Cary Grant and Randolph Scott. I do not care what you all say. They shared a house together, okay? They are my favorite closeted.
No one's fighting you on that one.
I was going to say, no complaints from me.
So I will be there. I will be there with bells on. So did that change your mind about Poitiers, Sam?
Well, I was going to see Sunrise. Because I've never seen it.
Right, you were.
Yeah, I've never seen it, and it's considered the greatest silent film of all time, from what I understand. And I'm a big Gaynor fan. I think she's amazing. I've been doing a lot of research on her lately because she's from Philly, and I was actually looking into getting her a historical marker in Philly because a lot of other Philly classic movie stars have one, but she doesn't. So I've been looking into that. So I've become a pretty big Gaynor fan, and I haven't seen one of the films that gave her her Oscar, the very first Best Actress Oscar. It's still kind of a must, but you've made it difficult for me, Kristen.
A Patch of Blue, that would be a big draw. Anything with Shelley Winters is going to get my ears pricking.
It's my favorite Sidney Poitier film, and he's my favorite living actor. If I saw that it was on the schedule and you didn't tell me where it was, it would be instant, yes. But it's so hard, I'm going to have to pass it up. But, spoiler alert, I am going to see another Sidney Poitier film at this festival, so all hope is not lost for my Poitier appreciation.
Poitier appreciation sounds like it needs to be on a sampler.
I'm going to make a Poitier appreciation button. Everyone's yes. making buttons. I'm going to make a Poitier appreciation yes. button.
So after that, I'm probably going to take a long dinner, because as much as I would love to go all the way to the Legion Theater to see The Sound of Music introduced by Rob Marshall, that's a long walk from the Egyptian all the way up there. And I could just go buy Hollywood Bowl tickets and see Sing Along Sound of Music in September, which I am inclined to do anyway. So I will be wearing my lederhosen at some point this year to go see.
You should do the bowl one, because I've gone to that numerous times and it's amazing.
Okay, see, there you go.
With or without lederhosen.
Yay. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm going to get a Maria bonnet. I'm going to go out full court press. It's going to happen. I've been dreaming about this for years.
Do it.
Vanity Street might be a TBA, and I don't really feel that connected to go see it. So I think I might just take a long dinner and get in line for Open Secret at 7:30 at the Chinese Multiplex. This one is from the late 40s, and it's got Jane Randolph, who I know from Cat People and Curse of the Cat People. It's supposedly similar to Crossfire, in that it's a film noir with social commentary. And if you've never seen Crossfire, you should really go watch it, because it's great. It's got all the Roberts: Robert Ryan, Robert Montgomery, Robert Young, I think. Yeah, I think that's all of them. That one's really a good movie. And I think this one might be interesting. The only reason it gets the edge is that it gets me closer to the movie I've planned my Saturday evening round. I would have loved to go do The Opposite Sex, the poolside screening, but it's pretty far to go from there to where I need to be at 9:30, which is The Egyptian. Back again. Roadhouse. I Love Ida. I have to go see Ida Lupino. I don't care what happens. I will be there. That's what I'm planning my whole evening around.
That is awesome.
If you're planning to go to a festival, it is very smart to take into account traveling from venue to venue, as you've done, and also making sure you're breaking to have meals. Because I think when people overload their schedule, it affect how you're taking in the fest.
I start to lose focus if I don't have something in my system.
You turn into a Snickers ad. I just want to put in my peep for the word that I would see Day for Night in a heartbeat. I love that movie so much. I'm a huge Truffaut fan, as I think you guys know. Jacqueline Bisset in it is one of the most beautiful women of all time. I know that Sam just mentioned someone being so beautiful. Oh, you were talking about animated characters.
Aurora and Shirley Temple, I've mentioned. I call a lot of people beautiful because everybody's beautiful.
That's fair. I love Day for Night so much. And I think even though it's French, the layering of watching a film about movie making in Hollywood is probably also an extra tingle. So I would put my recommend for that.
The fact that it's the only so far confirmed Eddie Mueller appearance. I mean, I'm sure there are going to be others. Probably Roadhouse, actually. That's a hunch of mine. And the fact that we missed out on Jacqueline Bisset last year when she canceled right before Bullet. I went. I didn't see her. I commiserated with Eddie Mueller. He was so upset. Just seeing how glad he was to be introducing Day for Night is really exciting. And I haven't seen it. But I'm going to be trying my best. There's only 45 minutes to spare between Sunrise and Steel Magnolias, but I'm going to try to hustle over there. Really, the only reason is because of Shirley MacLaine. As soon as I saw that she was going to be introducing this, I was crossing my fingers and praying that she would introduce something else, something earlier of hers, like The Children's Hour or What a Way to Go. Nope, only Steel Magnolias, and she's one of my favorites, so I have to try. to make it. And if not, it'll just be a long dinner.
My mom will be so happy to hear that somebody went to go see Steel Magnolia. She is a huge fan of it, and she's horrified that I won't go because I don't care for that movie.
My mom's a big Steel Magnolias fan. She's not really a big Shirley MacLaine fan, though, so...
Blasphemy. I will say, I though, you are in for a treat if you go, because when I went, when Shirley MacLaine did the conversation at Club TCM, they're usually really structured, and she was just like letting people throw out names of actors she had worked with and was answering questions about them. I'm pretty sure she was making comments about Jack Nicholson's junk. I mean, she was pretty candid.
She is a very out there woman, and I adore her for that.
She was a lot of fun, so you were in for a treat.
I hope so. I'll try.
Is that all you're doing Friday?
Actually, after that, I am going to see, for sure, Winchester 73. I have been getting more into Westerns lately. It's been really hard, because every time I see one, I love it, but I don't want to be lumped into the typical Western fan type. It's hard for me to ignore Winchester 73. I've seen it once, and I really loved it. It's one of my favorite Westerns, and I can't pass up Jimmy Stewart or Shelley Winters, as Drea mentioned. I actually sold my sister on this one, too. I told her about the plot, and she says, ooh, this sounds so good, we have to see it. So I'm really excited to see Winchester 73.
I like the idea of redefining the modern Western fan.
I hope we can. It would be such a dream to go to the Lone Pine Film Festival. That's probably, other than the TCM Film Festival or CineCon or Noir City, that's right up there for me.
I'm actually able to go to CineCon this year if I want. I'll be close by, and it's the weekend of my birthday. So,
oh, that's amazing! The Mid-Atlantic NostalgiaCon is on my birthday this year. It was last year, too. It has been every year, but Russ Tamblyn and Britt Eklund are going to be there, and that's just so far.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That's just who they've announced so far. So it is my goal to hug Russ Tamblyn on my birthday.
I'm sure Russ Tamblyn's been to a TCM Film Festival. He hasn't been in the 5 years that I've gone.
I think he did his handprints for West Side Story, but he did so many other films. I am a huge Russ Tamblyn fan.
He swears he's writing his memoirs this year.
I'm keeping my eyes out for that, yeah.
Moving on to Saturday. Saturday is very hard for me because there are a lot of options. I was really excited to go see The Little Colonel, speaking of Shirley Temple, but again, I don't feel it's worth walking all the way down to the Legion Theater to go see, so I'll probably just wait and see that some other time. I could walk all the way down to the Egyptian to go see Double Wedding. It's introduced by Ileana Douglas. But I probably will go be at When Worlds Collide. I saw Forbidden Planet 1 year. I went to the poolside for that. I really want to see another sci-fi movie. They're usually really fun. Barbara Rush is going to be there to introduce it. I just think it might be really fun to see something like that on the big screen.
That one's up there for me. It's hard because this is actually the day where my sister and I completely diverge. She's going to be there with me for the whole festival, but there are just some movies on this day that she has to see, and From Here to Eternity is one of them, and I don't blame her for that. Fred Zinnemann's son is going to be introducing it, so that'll be really exciting. I wish I could be there, but I am not letting anything get in the way of me watching A Woman Under the Influence, introduced by Gina Rowlands. It's a highlight of my festival. I cannot miss it. Actually, I might even be sacrificing Double Wedding to see it. If I really feel confident that I'll still get into A Woman Under the Influence, I might still see Double Wedding. But otherwise, as soon as I, quote unquote, drop my sister off at From Here to Eternity, I'm trekking down to the Egyptian, and I will probably be waiting 3.5 hours.
I love that. That's your priority. That's a good one.
Double Wedding is at the Egyptian, correct?
It is, but there's only an hour in between.
Right, but the Egyptian is big enough that you could probably get out of the movie.
That's true.
And get back in line and still get a cue card. Because I think there's like 500, 600 seats at the Egyptian. Probably more than that.
This is so petty, but I have never had a number one cue card before.
Oh, see, that's important. That's important to do at least once.
I'm thinking about just holding it out for A Woman Under the Influence and being the first one to see Gina Rowlands. I think that would be really cool.
Well, full disclosure, I can tell you that I stumbled into Leave Her to Heaven, Nitrate, at the Egyptian with about 40 minutes to spare, and I got in. I'm just saying, it's possible. It is possible.
I got to meet Gina Rowlands a couple years ago because she presented at the LA Film Festival. We do the small awards at the end of the festival. And she was so lovely. Her daughter is a filmmaker that I know as well. She's the loveliest woman. And it's also very funny thinking of the films that you know of her and then who she is now, who's this very elegant older woman, because she's such an earthy present. It's almost like there's two different people. You see that they're both there, but it's a very interesting discord. I want to just give my small shout out this afternoon to Kind Hearts and Coronets because I love that movie so much. I hope it gets a good turnout.
That's definitely a favorite from what I've heard.
I'm going to tell you, the hardest thing for me to deal with is this late at morning afternoon slot on Saturday. I literally have no idea what I'm doing because I want to do them all. I would literally split myself into threes if I could. Saturday, they're showing Kind Hearts and Coronets, which I have seen and I really, really enjoy it. But the reason I want to go is it's being introduced by Jefferson Mays. And if you watched I Am the Night on TNT this year, he played George Hodel, the suspected Black Dahlia killer, and I think he's amazing. He frightens me, but I also want to be his best friend. He's going to be there. When I heard that, I was just like, I must be in his presence. This is not fair. But at the same time, they're showing Tarzan and His Mate, which I have been wanting to see a Tarzan movie. I've never seen any of the studio era ones, which I think would be really awesome. But then my friend heard that I had not seen Sleepless in Seattle and said, quote, Kristen, we can't be friends anymore if you haven't seen this. It's being introduced by Linda Obst and Rita Wilson.
I will say, of the contemporary films, the Sleepless in Seattle with Linda and Rita is a pretty solid lineup.
Right? And Rita Wilson is a new get because she was not on the list prior to me just looking.
Her and Lily Tomlin as well.
Wait, Lily Tomlin's got... Wait, what?
For Nashville, yeah. She was just added to Nashville.
I have no interest in seeing that movie, but I want to be near Lily Tomlin.
I know.
Damn it! They need to stop with this. I can't handle it. Hey, so
you stumped me, and now I get to stump you.
It will probably be whatever I am close to, and I will probably be crying regardless of what I see, because I'll be crying about what I missed.
Tarzan and His Mate was my second choice, for sure. Up until all these recent announcements, that was my number one, pretty much. It's going to be hard to give that up, but it's literally the one that I'm looking forward to the most, A Woman Under the Influence.
I contemplated going to see Working Girl. I love Working Girl so very, very much, but I'm thinking I might end up going to the Legion Theater. Why? Because they're showing Wuthering Heights. Wuthering Heights is my favorite romance, and it's my favorite book. I reread it every year. Some people say that's masochistic. I think it's devotion. It's being introduced by Alex Trebek. And if you don't know, Alex Trebek is currently fighting pancreatic cancer, and I feel like I should be there. It really screws up a lot because I'm going to have to get there like as soon as I'm done with whatever I'm doing. It screws up me going to see The Bad Seed with Patty McCormick. That's probably where I will be. And then I will probably conclude the night, try to see a midnight show. I never make it. The closest I got was last year. I saw Simon Pegg intro Night of the Living Dead before my cold finally got the best of me and I had to go back to the hotel room. But I'm going to try to see the 1970 film The Student Nurses because feminism. What's your schedule so far for the rest of Saturday, Sam?
Well, I will definitely be staying at the Egyptian after A Woman Under the Influence and seeing A Raisin in the Sun. I think Donald Bogle is so great at interviewing people of color, and he's going to be introducing that with Louis Gossick Jr. I loved his guest programmer slots on TCM not too long ago. I think he did a really great job. That will be my chance to see Sidney Poitier on the big screen. My sister actually made fun of me because she has seen this film. She saw it in school. It's one Sidney Poitier film I have not seen. And then I'm going to follow that. I'm actually not sure because it only leaves me half an hour to see Wuthering Heights with you, Kristen. I might try to get there in half an hour and squeeze in. If not, I definitely want to try to see Butch Cassidy. But my sister will be in Nashville.
Butch Cassidy is, again, another one I wanted to go see. I've never seen it. And I love Robert Redford, but I have not seen that movie. So if for some reason I don't go to Wuthering Heights, that is probably where I will be.
I feel like a lot more confident about Butch Cassidy because it would give me an hour to get back to the IMAX, and it also has the most seats. I feel like I would be able to get into Butch Cassidy if I wanted to see it, especially because of the May Day that will be Nashville, I'm sure, with Jeff Goldblum. And then after Butch Cassidy or Wuthering Heights, one of the two, I'm definitely going to see Samson and Delilah. I haven't seen any Nitrates yet, so I have a few planned. Victoria Mature, Victor Mature's daughter, will be introducing it, so that'll be a lot of fun. And I just love Hedy Lamarr. She is honestly top five favorite actresses for me.
Drea, anything you want to show for before we close out and go to the last day?
Just Indiscreet. I just love it so much.
I haven't seen it. It looks good.
No, it's for sure one of those cozy blanket ones. I've definitely seen it a couple times or more than a couple. Totally different from anything else we talk about. Escape from New York. Love it. John Carpenter and Kurt Russell are going to be there. This is not in the realm of what we typically discuss, but I am a big Escape from New York fan. Snake Plissken.
My mom is very upset that I'm not going to see that either. And I just said, nah.
Yeah. That and Star Wars are going to be huge draws. So I have the feeling that the other films during that slot will be pretty empty.
That brings us to Sunday, the last day. Much of this will be dependent on, I'm pretty sure, on TBAs. I know where I will be, barring something really, really good is playing. I will be back at the Egyptian, seeing Mad Love with my favorite best friend, Bill Hader.
Best friend? I have to hear about this. Hold on.
The first year I went to TCM, they used to do the poolside screenings where the host would stand to the side of the pool, right by like where the bar is. Now that's not the case, and I feel like it's my fault. Yeah, I went to use the bathroom, and I came out, and literally Bill Hader was standing there talking, doing the intro. He finished the intro, and I was like, go big or go home. And I literally ran right towards him. I ran over some poor girl that was like talking to him, and I was like, hey, Bill Hader, I love you. I took my picture with Bill Hader. The next year, they moved all the guests to like the front of the pool, so you can't access them anymore, and I feel like that's because of me.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That's where I will be, though, saying, hey there, Bill Hader, remember me? I was the crazy girl in the wheelchair that ran over somebody to get to you. As much as I'm interested in going to see Magnificent Obsession, which is a great movie, I've enjoyed seeing many a Douglas Sirk film at TCM, I probably will be at the Hollywood Love Stories and Celebrity Culture panel. I have not seen a panel yet, I usually do. And it's got Dan Baker. Diane Baker and I, we are casual acquaintances, I can say that. Every time I'm there, she remembers me, and I'm just like, you're amazing, so I feel like that means something. Honestly, I'm not too convinced that I will go see much of anything after that, again, depending on what the TBAs are. I had thought about going to see The Godfather Part 2 because I have never seen it. And I keep saying I'm going to, and I haven't yet, but it's really long. So I will probably end up going to see the Dolly Sisters or not and just like stalk the after party. I don't know. Sunday is really weird for me because by that point I'm really tired. I either try to see as much as I can or I just go see nothing. But if I can get to the Dolly Sisters one last nitrate, that will probably be a lot of fun. So that's my Sunday. Sam, what's your Sunday looking like?
Honestly, I mean, it always does depend on the TBAs. It was so difficult, though, because Magnificent Obsession, I haven't seen it. I have heard so many good things, and I adore Rock Hudson, but it gets in the way of two things. Literally, after Mad Love, I basically asked my sister, what are the things that you cannot miss? She said, From Here to Eternity, Nashville, and she really, really wanted to see the Bonhams appraisals. And I felt so bad. And I told her the truth. I went last year to the Bonhams appraisals, and I wasn't super thrilled. Honestly, there wasn't much of a crowd. There were a few interesting things, but not really a whole lot, I hate to say. For her, I really want to do that. And then after that, there's going to be the TCM Backlot Meetup. They'll be raffling the art from Club TCM and all kinds of goodies. And it literally says in the description, here's your chance to meet all of the TCM Backlot presidents. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm president of the Philadelphia chapter, so I kind of got to be there. Magnificent Obsession is going to get the boot, and it makes me cry. After that, I'm not really into a whole lot of the movies that they're screening either. I will definitely keep my eye out for the TBAs. Everybody's telling me to see Cold Turkey. I do love Dick Van Dyke. Woman of Affairs. Basically, if I had to fill my time at the movies, I would probably choose those two. Or The Killers, if Eddie Muller is introducing it, which I have a feeling he will be. And then, of course, the Dolly Sisters. But my sister also wants to do some sightseeing, so maybe we'll take the afternoon, evening to do that.
I'm relieved that neither of you said Gone with the Wind, because it is a film that I loathe. I do not like it, in looking at this, that they're doing a panel about its complicated legacy, and my friend Stephanie is on that panel. And I guarantee she will be bringing up many of the things that drive me crazy about that film, other than the fact that I never root for its heroine. In fact, I spend most of the time watching that movie wishing that she would fail and that it would turn into a much different movie. That I'm always am like, wait, you want me to root for her? She's horrible.
We did an episode on Gone with the Wind, me and my guest Terrence Johnson, who likes it. And it's a very interesting episode. It might be fun for you to listen to. We want to close out with your listener questions we did ask. So, Sam, what are the questions that we got?
All right. So we have Donna Lamore, who asked, I have the Essential Pass this year. A friend wanted to walk the red carpet, so I said I would go with him. How early do you recommend going if you wanted to sit in the bleachers and observe some of it? I don't know a whole lot about the Essential Pass. I've never had it. I always go with the Classic Pass. But what do you guys know about this?
The Essential Pass is the top of the line?
Or Spotlight is the top.
Much like Sam said, we only do the Classic. But as somebody who does do red carpet, I know that people do line up for the bleachers. It's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours ahead of time. If you want a really, really good seat. Red carpet opens at 5:30. So I'd say if you want to get in, be there about 3:30, 4 o'clock. The earlier, the better, especially if you want a really good seat down in front.
Next, we have Kids on Classics, who asked, I do want to mention as well before I go into it, this is one that I got off of Twitter, and she gave me full permission to use this question because I thought that it's something that a lot of people wonder about. I hear this question all the time. What is the rigueur? What did you wear last year to the red carpet? She's considering a floor-length gown, and she's worried that her husband won't be allowed in if he's not wearing a dinner jacket. She wants to know what to wear for the red carpet.
So I have seen many people go all out for red carpet. They go completely formal. I've seen people don all sorts of stuff that's considered highly, highly formal. But then at the same time, I've also seen people wearing Sunday best. I would say some nice slacks and a nice shirt is always great. If you have the pass and it allows you to walk on the red carpet, you can literally wear whatever you want because it comes as part of your pass. They will let you on regardless. I think you can dress as casually as you want.
That's generally pretty true of events in Los Angeles anyway, film events. But definitely the festival, like Kristen said, there's always a range of things. But she should encourage him to dress to match her because it's more fun.
That's true. Honestly, I do have to say as well, not just for the red carpet, but for the whole festival in general. One of the things that I really dreamed about doing when I would eventually attend the festival would be dressing in vintage or vintage reproduction. A lot of girls go really all out with the red lipstick and the perfect vintage hair and the perfect vintage dresses and heels. I did that last year. I got a good amount of compliments. I was really proud of it, and I'm going even bigger this year. Maybe not the perfect hair, because it'll be hard to do that in the morning, but definitely going all out with the makeup and the outfits. So I encourage everybody to do the same if you want to or if you can. I thought it was so cute because when she made this post asking what to wear as her quote unquote example, it was Marilyn Monroe's gorgeous fuchsia gown from How to Marry a Millionaire, that gif of her turning in the mirror. I think it was so cute. I would totally go for something like that if I was walking the red carpet.
I'd wear that every day if I could.
Absolutely. It seems pretty skin tight. I mean, but it's Marilyn Monroe. What are we?
That's the if I could part.
So the very last question is from my sister at Die the Bookworm. She's a big fan of the podcast, for sure. She listens to every episode. I love her so much. She asked, has there ever been an idea for an episode that you guys wanted to do, but realized you couldn't make a full episode out of it or decided not to do it for some other reason? I'm curious about your guys' answers here.
I don't think I can think of anything that we've talked about that we aren't willing to take on. The only thing I can see is personal infighting. If you wanted to do an entire episode about the dreaminess of Tyrone Powell, you might face a little, like, recourse for that.
Okay, we're going to do one for his birthday. I'm so excited. That actually brings me to my point. I did say to Kristen, and I try not to be a diva. I don't. But she was asking me, I say this very lightly, but I hope that I am considered a Tyrone Power expert. She asked me what Tyrone Power movies would be good to discuss or what we should put up for a vote. And I said anything but Mark of Zorro, for the simple fact that I don't really consider it much of a Tyrone Power film. He plays this character that is so opposite of himself, and it's just not a good example of a Tyrone Power film. I would also sort of say Blood and Sand. Basically, they were very obvious shot-for-shot remakes of their earlier silent film counterparts. It's not a Tyrone Power vehicle, really, to me, either one. I love them both. They're good, but I wanted to discuss something else. So that's one that I personally kind of rejected.
As evidenced by the few episodes that I've done where I've said at the beginning, I feel like we didn't vet this episode properly. There are not a lot of movies that I feel that would not yield themselves to some interesting conversation. At the bare minimum, I try. So if you listen to stuff like our Devotion episode or the episode we did on Union Pacific, those are episodes that I was just like, in the moment, they weren't the best ideas, but we do try them. There's not a whole lot that I've outright said that we will never discuss. We at least have a fun enough time talking about stuff.
Oh yeah, I would still totally discuss Mark of Zorro. Absolutely. It's just if someone had asked me what I think the best Tyrone Power movie to discuss would be, I would not choose that one.
What I'm saying is nothing is off limits, really. But thank you for your questions, everybody. We appreciate them. We take them all year. Please don't think that it's only mailbag episodes that we take questions. We would love to hear your questions. We'd love to hear your thoughts on TCM, the film festival, anything. You can send us your questions, email them to us at ticklishbiz@gmail.com or tweet them to us at ticklish_biz, and we'll read them on the next show. Of course, I'd like to thank my amazing co-host before we start doing all the housekeeping. Samantha Ellis, where can fans find to get in touch with you, read your writing, all of that?
Well, I write for musingsofaclassicfilmaddict.com, and my Twitter is classicfilmgeek. Every month, you'll see my Cooking with the Stars posts on classicmoviehub.com. Next month, I have a really exciting episode about Audrey Hepburn.
And Dre Clark, where are you online?
I am on Twitter and Instagram sporadically, but with verve when I do.
That's going to close out this edition of Ticklish Business. You can listen to Ticklish Business a variety of different ways, either directly at ticklishbusiness.podbean.com, via Stitcher Radio and Player FM, or iTunes. If you're listening via iTunes, consider leaving us a rating and a review. Once again, our email is ticklishbiz, that's B-I-Z, @gmail.com. You can visit me at my official website where I discuss classic films regularly, journeysinclassicfilm.com. And the podcast is once again on Twitter at ticklish_biz. I did remember this time, we have a contest. I have prizes. I have 3 Warner Archive movies to give away. They will go to a lucky person who just sends us a question. That's all you have to do. Just send us a question. It can be anything classic film related. It can be something asking us what our favorite movie is. It just has to be a query of some kind. You can email that to us or you can tweet that to us, and that will be your entry. Patrons, you'll automatically be entered to win. And the winner will receive 3 classic film wrapped mint in the box movies from Warner Archive. I will tell you what they are if I can remember them. I know one of them is Man Wanted. One of them is You for Me, starring Peter Lawford. And the other, I believe, is Professional Sweetheart with Ginger Rogers. So that's what's going to be given away. Send us a question. We'll run this until the end of April. Plenty of time for you to get it in. And more questions is more entries. And Samantha is not eligible. I know what she's thinking.
I just got my Warner Archive sale movies in the mail. I'm good.
If you want to learn more about upcoming episodes or hear exclusive content before anyone else, consider supporting Ticklish Business via Patreon. We have a wealth of amazing perks. All your donations go right back into making Ticklish Business the premier classic film podcast that it is. If you become a patron right now, you can get an exclusive Ticklish Business button. We will be handing out buttons at the TCM Film Festival. If you are a fan and you mentioned the podcast, you will get a different button. I just got extras, a special edition TCM specific buttons that we will be handing out. But all patrons who join can get their own Ticklish Business button that they can wear with misspelled pride.
I just got mine and it is beautiful. I just want to say.
You can also get access to these episodes 48 hours early. All of that is available. We also have my bonus shows, which I promise will happen after TCM. It has just been very hard to get Bibbs and Adam to coordinate schedules with me. But I do have episodes of Based on a True Podcast and Doubled Features on there. We will also have our TCM Film Festival audio that will be back, and that will only be on the Patreon. If you're interested, head over to patreon.com/ticklishbiz. And if you want to learn more about the stars turning 100 in 2019, we're not talking about it on the podcast, but if you're a member of TCM's exclusive fan club, TCM Backlot, you can read my year-long series about the stars turning 100 this year. I will be talking in April about Howard Keel. Next time, after we come back from the festival, we are going to be honoring actress Jane Mansfield. We hope to have guest April Vieva, author of the book Publicity, on to talk about will success spoil Rock Hunter. So that's going to be next time. If you're at the film festival, come say hi to Samantha and I. Maybe Drea will be with us. We don't know. It's going to be a big surprise. So till next time.